This is a replay of District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey's community meeting last Monday, May 12th. Technical problems, details of which you'll hear as the meeting goes along, caused the first half of the meeting to not air live. As we scrambled to find the cause, Tim started the meeting on his own. We have concluded that should Tim decide to give up government service, he's got a great career in radio. We thank him for going with the flow marvelously and apologize to you if you were trying to hear it live. So now, in its entirety, here's Tim's monthly meeting.
Monster Hits for Gila County, Gila 101.9.
Good evening. One thing with this wind blowing and stuff, I would say fire-wise, even though we had a little bit of rain, the Tonneau Forest is in stage two. So that means when you're out and about, no fires, no charcoal fires, no charcoal fires in established campgrounds, no charcoal fires in your Weber if you're out, or anything like that. If you do happen to go camping or something, I think you can use a propane stove, something that can be turned off and doesn't have sparks. Smoking. If you're in a designated area or your car, no shooting, no explosives, no welding, chainsaws, anything that may cause a fire. They're in a stage two. And so please help protect everybody and our forests and around your house as well. It only takes one cigarette butt to start a neighborhood on fire. And so, you know, if you've got some weeds around your house, get them raked up and kind of get things done around your house to be a little more fire wise. And so that's my spiel on fire. So I would appreciate it if everybody would just kind of look out for everybody else as far as that goes. And my recent activities, I held a Tonneau Basin community meeting on May 6th. I held a dumpster day in Deer Creek Village on May 8th, and that went well. I take my truck and trailer for tires and metal so that they don't have to sort the dumpster when they get back to the landfill. And so my trailer and truck filled up, and we filled almost one full dumpster, and so that went well in that community. And I think this evening I'm going to try to hang on and go to the Miami town council meeting this evening. I believe the mayor is going to honor the varsity team because those boys went and helped put out a fire and get people and stuff arranged before the fire department got there. So, you know, hats off to them, and I do believe the mayor is going to honor them this evening. I'll meet with Danielle Monette from the governor's office tomorrow afternoon after the Board of Supervisors meeting. We'll have a Board of Supervisors meeting at 10. And then after that, I will meet with Danielle. And my big topic still is blight. And I'll get into that here in a little bit, which is properties that we need cleaned up. And then I'll meet with Michael O'Driscoll, our deputy county manager, and his team on the 14th. And I do that every month to keep up with projects going on in District 2, things we need to start, where things are at that we're working on, and engineering is there, finance is there, facilities is there. So as we get a project, it's not like we're waiting to hear from this guy or waiting to hear from that guy, because we're all sitting at the same table. So then that way, if something comes up, then we're able to move these projects right along. And then I'll attend a Gila County Public Safety Monument Revealing Ceremony on Thursday. And so it's been kind of a busy schedule so far. Getting back to the blighted properties is, as I got with county manager, we did put some in the budget. We put more money in the budget this year, and my deal is I don't like to take care of some of these properties I'd like to make the people responsible for them. But there are properties that either the people have passed away and no one is on the title for the property other than the deceased person. And so therefore, we have no one responsible or liable for that property. And also, too, some of the investors in our area have purchased the tax lien on some of these properties. And so by purchasing the tax lien, and then after 3 years, they can foreclose on the property, but sometimes they don't, or a lot of times they don't. And so then that property can be tied up for another 10 years. And so that's the reason for a lot of these blighted properties. And so we've got the health department involved. And so what we have done is there was a property at 5851 South Van Winkle, 5666 East Golden Heel Road, 4355 Copper Street, 4368 East Copper Street, 4362 East Copper Street, 5201 East Young Street. And so what these properties were is they were properties like that, and they had gotten to the point either there was it was a burnt structure that was posing a safety risk, partially burnt building, or there was just so much garbage and stuff there that it could cause a fire issue, or there was raw sewage. And so that allowed the county, and what we did is we subcontracted contractors, and we reached out for bids from contractors from the local area, and also outside the area, but anyway, and so we got these contractors, and then they went in and cleaned up the property. Now, is that a permanent fix? No, it is not. It's a temporary fix. And so I have been working with David Marshall, who's our representative down at the Capitol. And I was at a dinner last Saturday, and he was at a table next to me. And he and I have been talking for quite a while, 6 months or so, on this, even longer than that. And so we tried to get a bill going on this last legislation, but coming up this next year, Mr. Marshall had explained to me that he's going to try to help me with two bills this year. One of them would be for money to help clean some of these places up, but also a bill that if you are paying taxes on a property in the state of Arizona, you're liable for it. Whether you're a family, you know, if someone in your family had passed away, so the trust is paying the property taxes to keep it from going into a tax foreclosure sale, then whoever's paying the taxes would be liable. And if people want to invest in the state of Arizona, I think that's a great thing. But I think they need to be liable for the properties, because some of them are buying up, you know, like 100 properties or even more than that. And they need to be responsible for those properties that our residents are having to live next to that are just piled up and really hazardous. And so these, and we do keep a list on our complaints, and the properties that I went over earlier, they were on the top of our list. We still have a list. And so we'll be working in the future to clean up other properties. So if you do have a property that you're living next to that just drives you nuts, please let me know so we can get it on our list, because I've asked the county manager for more funding this next year. Perhaps our representative David Marshall will help us get some money from the state to clean up some of this, and also make the whoever's paying the taxes liable.
Tim, you are a real trooper. I got to tell you that. Here's the situation. Best laid plans. We a while ago created a fail-safe system so that when our primary computer was down, the secondary would take over. When that was down, the transmitter computer would take over. Well, it did, but it's not letting us get on the air. So I turned off all those computers. We had dead air. Now, the good news is we are streaming this as we speak. New URL for the stream, so I don't know who's listening to it. we're also recording it. And what I'm planning to do is record it, and then I will play this back. I don't know if we should play it back next Monday at 5:30 or tomorrow at 5:30 or both. But we will absolutely do it.
Well, that's your choice on when you play
it. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm thinking we'll have Big John highlighted in the news.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So it'll either be tomorrow night or maybe, you know, have him plug it longer. But well, yeah, we'll absolutely do it.
That's fine. I appreciate that. I could start over.
We got everything you said, you know, because the whole thing's been recorded. So as far as that goes, yeah, your meeting is splendid. So what else we got going on?
Well, that's good. And you might give them your phone number in case they want to call.
They can't.
They can't call us.
Well, how would they?
You turned it all off. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Those of you that waited all this time to call and you called today, you're gonna have to wait a while.
Now there's a potential that somebody's listening to the stream who wants to call, but I would say I'll give the number out just in case. Who knows? But I think the chances of winning the lottery is greater, and that's 888-876-5593. 888-ROLLYE.
Well, see, now you're recorded, so when you play it back, they'll get it.
Oh, you're right, and then they'll call, right?
But anyway, so the county, we're going to be doing some chip sealing. That's the time of year when it gets hot and miserable. That's the good time to put chip seal on the roads. And so today we started Monday the 12th through May the 15th. And we're going to be working on the Wheatfields Road, the Hicks Road, Hoops Road, Quail Ridge, and Bixby Road. So if you live on those roads, be patient with us because we're just trying to make your road better, and it may inconvenience you for a day or two, but in the long run, it'll be a lot better. And
great.
So, yeah, that's some chip sealing that we're doing. The Russell Gulch project is going well over, you know, where it comes down by the hospital over there by the old APS. They took that bridge out. They're making that a lot wider. And so right now we're on about, I would guess, about 80 days of a project that is supposed to last 180 days. So we're getting real close to being halfway through that. So we should get quite a ways along before our monsoons start. And we do have another road that we can use in case of we get excess rain and flooding. There will be a different road that people can use to get over to the hospital and around that way.
Good.
And so, yeah, that's going to be a well-needed project. And our landfill had a fire on May the 2nd. Someone had brought in a part of a burned house or burned something, and the charcoals, I guess, were still hot, and they dumped it. And I guess the outer part of it was not hot, but you know how they run over compact it. And then that started a fire, but it didn't get out of hand. Our staff was on it really fast with water trucks and keeping it, you know, doused, and then they had the equipment to move it, and so no one was hurt. It may have caused some delays, and we apologize for that, not allowing people to be on part of that while we were trying to extinguish a fire.
Oh, man.
But anyway, yeah, that was kind of a tough deal, and I had a Roosevelt meeting today.
Oh, let me pause and say, miracle of miracle, we are now on the air. And John says, yes, we're on the air. We don't know how or why, but welcome back.
Well, yeah. Good.
All right, so if you were listening to the radio and not the stream, by the way, the stream URL has changed again, and hopefully for the last time. But all sorts of technical problems prohibited us from having the first half of this meeting on the air. So what we've done, I've recorded it, and we will play it back again. I'll get with Big John to see. We'll have him plug it in the news. It'll either be tomorrow night at 5:30 or next Monday at 5:30. But either way, you will hear it. And this is a mystery to me while we're on the air, but we are.
Well, that's good. You know, I mean, well, the thing about mysteries, you're on, and if you go off again, you don't really know why.
Well, that's exactly it.
Well, that's a tough deal. Yeah, but things have been busy going along here. We just keep things going. We've got, like I say, Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow. I didn't bring that agenda with me, but I'm sure Big John shares that agenda with you. And then we'll...
And he shared that agenda on the news earlier.
Yeah.
Read the whole thing.
Well, so, that's good. That's good. Yeah. And it's out in my pickup. I didn't bring it in.
Okay.
Because I'd been going over it. And you can, you know, if you're interested in the Board of Supervisors meetings, it's online. So you can get on and watch that from home. And I do believe you're even able to make comments. And I was surprised that, you know, we've had like 30, 40 people attend our meetings online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's good that we are getting people interested in what's going on in local government.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, on KQSS.net, on the news page, there's links to all that, to the live streams, as well as the meeting agendas and all that. So it's all there, but you could probably go to HealaCountyAZ.gov and get that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I say, if you have comments on some of it, I think you're also able to make comments.
Good.
And they would just be read, I do believe.
Okay.
And so, but yeah, and it's been a lot of things going on. We're working on lots of projects. I haven't heard from Tri-City Sanitation since we had Marianne Moreno on. But, you know, and no news is good news. I mean, if there was something major going on, I think I'd have caught wind. But by not hearing, I think things might be pedaling on as usual. And there again, that would help with a lot of these blighted properties.
Oh, ultimately, it will, because obviously an investor is not going to come in here, very likely to come in here, if they have no idea if they can ever rehab this. And lots that no longer are feasible, you can't repair them if there's no room for a septic. So, this is a wait. No matter what, it's a few years for phase one and even longer for phase two and three. But
And it's a real egg in the face when we do get an investor that purchases a property, and then the state came up with a law that if they're on a cesspool, we're not allowed to give them a building permit.
Right.
And so I don't know how they purchase the property without knowing that, but some people do. And so then they come for a building permit, and it's like, state won't let us. And so we fought back at the state, and if it's life-sustaining, there for a while, they let us issue a permit, and I'd have to check to see if that's still able. But like, if their electrical box was not working properly, then they need that for life sustaining. So they can get a permit for that electrical, or a hot water heater, or something of that, you know. But not go in and redo the bedroom and the living room and kitchen, because the state said you can't on a cesspool.
And the problem, as you mentioned in previous meetings, is that the federal government has come down harder on what is allowed and what isn't.
Sure.
So, it's one thing that the state will do something now, but tomorrow, if the federal government changes the rules again, it's a liability. Without the without the sanitary district going ahead and putting together a system, you're buying at your own peril right now.
Right. And also, too, they came up with a funding program to help replace cesspools with septic tanks. But we worked really hard and never was able to obtain any funding for that program.
Right. And unfortunately, as we've also talked a lot, these lots are so small that the cost becomes excessive. Not saying it cannot be done in any way, but it cannot be done in any feasible economic way.
Right, yeah, then it turns to an alternative system.
Right, and that's very pricey.
Yeah, and I, you know, I mean, I own property in the Tri-City Sanitary District, and I think I would just wait rather than spend that much money on an alternative above-ground system.
Absolutely.
With Tri-City now, being able to go out for bid, because that's a good step forward in that direction. But and so anyway, we just keep projecting, and like I say, I just keep my meetings up You know, in District 2 projects, we've done a lot of projects right now. We're not working on anything that I'm aware of other than the chip sealing and the Russell Gulch and, mm-hmm. and the engineering to redo the road. You know, we're working on those, but other major projects where I, you know, we're not doing a whole lot. The Gibson Building downtown, you know, we're working with the City of Globe to get that done, and it just keeps to kind of being a white elephant, but we're gaining sure. on it. They're back doing some more work on that now, which I guess there was some hazardous material that was demoed early on, and come to find out there is more that needs to be demoed. So I believe that's what the project's going on now on that old Gibson Building downtown.
Uh-huh.
And so the fairgrounds, we're working on getting phase three there. That's still going. If you, if you've been out that way, if you've noticed that, that they're putting in new metal poles to help us get three phase out there so that we can carry on with some of our remodel and try to get, you know, that second arena up and running and do some things out at the fairgrounds to benefit the public so we can have more events out there. But right now, the way the electrical is, we're kind of stretched on what we can do with the electrical that we do have.
No, I know, and I know there's been a pet project with you, and rightfully so, because that should really be an asset. The fairgrounds should be attracting people from all over. We've got the land. We just need to upgrade the facilities, and it's been a long time, so there's a lot involved. But I think you'll see people coming here if those facilities can handle whatever they're trying to do.
Oh, yeah. We're centrally located in the state. If we can start creating functions and junior rodeos and things of that nature out there, it will help, well, you know, our local kids as well as, you know, 4-H events and things of that nature. They can do, you know, bigger events and
sure.
So I just, yeah, it's been one of my pet projects, and I kind of got shut down over the electrical, and it's like, okay, well, then let's back up and fix the electrical and start over and see where we go.
And for every event that's there, you know, it benefits the community. People have to eat, they got to buy gas or whatever. They're in the neighborhood, and that's never a bad thing.
And recreation. It's like, what are you going to do Saturday? Well, there's a car show and a this and a that and you know, a little airplane deal or whatever.
Right.
You know, a pickleball tournament. I don't know. Yeah. You know, whatever. No. That seems to be a real happening thing anymore. You know, I mean, a lot of people are doing that, so you know, you never know what we can create out there to generate activities to bring people to our community as well as for the people in our community.
Now, I was looking at the agenda for tomorrow's meeting, and one of the discussions will be the IGA to fund the summer work employment program.
Yes.
So that's always a good event.
It is. You know, we've worked hard on that program. And so I think last year we hired like 30 kids, and I think I think the age limit is like 18 and down. It could be 19, I'm not sure. But anyway, they apply. I think it's paying like $13 an hour.
Wow.
And but apply, and they interview them, mm-hmm. and if they're interested in IT, then they try to get them in an IT, you know, for the summer, where they can work with phones, computers, and things. If they're interested in health, they try to get them in the health department and things of that nature. But we're even partnering with the Town of Miami, City of Globe, Town of Payson, Hayden.
Winkleman.
So I think, yeah, Winkleman, because I'm using some of my constituent funds to help, like the Town of Miami, to be able to hire some of these kids, mm-hmm. you know, to help them put more youth to work out of my constituent funds so that they can offer more jobs, which will help, you know, the Town of Miami as well. So
no, I think that's great. It's a wonderful opportunity, and no matter where you are in the county, there might be something for you. So apply.
Sure, apply. Yeah, it doesn't, you know, city, town, whatever. Like
yes.
I say, in Gila County, we've reached out, and I, you know, we're still trying to work with the Forest Service on a program, you know, so they could work for the Forest Service, yeah. cleaning trails, doing those kind of things, fence work. You know, if forestry is going to be you know, something that they're going to want in the future.
Right, but like you mentioned, IT and stuff like that, that can be terrific experience.
It can. You know, I mean, that may be what they think they want until they do a summer of it.
Exactly.
And they think, well, this is not what I want to spend the rest of my life doing.
Exactly.
You never know. But, you know, we have employees that have, you know, a lot of years that started with us on a youth program.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I support the youth program for everything it's worth. I think great getting them out, getting them, you know, a little money and something to do and you know, make $13 an hour isn't too bad.
No, it isn't. And like you say, the benefit of finding out that maybe it's not what you want to do may be more important to you than finding something you do want to do.
It might be.
Now, finally, Michael O'Driscoll is proclaiming May as Mental Health Awareness Month. So there you have it. I feel like I'm going to need the services after this.
Well, I think all of us kind of self-check every once in a while.
I'll tell you what.
Just because. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I think the world of Michael. He's doing a lot, and he's real dedicated to the county, and I appreciate him a lot.
All right.
But anyway, Rolly, I guess if I speak much more, I'm going to get into the mayor's time.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to get over to the Miami Town Council meeting and see how that goes. And so you have a great evening, and it's good visiting with you, and we'll talk to you again.
Sounds great. And of course, this will replay, and Big John will tell you when in the news as far as that. It was on the stream the whole time, but the stream URL changed. So anyway, it's going to replay. It also will be downloadable in perpetuity at kqss.net. And on Tim's page, where you will see that, a link right on the homepage, you will also see all the information to contact Tim directly or his assistant, Terry Link. So yeah. We got you covered. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, 928-961-2885.
There you have it.
Call me.
All right. Good deal. Thank you.